After you finished then, you played basketball and football again.
Yeah.
Did you have to consciously lose weight to lose the bulk that you'd had as a second or forward?
Well, no. I was I'm obviously heavier now than I was then. I look back at photographs of me now, and I think I was really skinny.
Mm.
What happened was, in a perverse way, I put on weight after I'd stopped playing because I started going to the gym. During my actual playing career, hardly lifted a weight. Not at all. I look back, somewhere there's a picture of me naked from the waist up in a cup final holding a trophy, and there's not a muscle in sight. And yet, 5 years later, you know, I was pretty well cut. Mm-hmm. So no, it was the opposite. I actually bulked up. I think I was about 17 stone, 17 and a half stone when I was playing.
Mm-hmm. Well, how things have changed with the amount of gym work that they're doing now.
I think now it's gone completely the wrong way, and that may be part of the reason why, you know, squads have got 25 to 30% of their players off, and you've just got to look at the injury stats for props are just horrendous, and they probably lift more and heavier weights than anybody else. Yeah. No, I have my own little thing about this. I think players are too big, they're too fast, and there are too many of them playing a first-class game.
Mm.
I think 23 is a crazy number.
Mm.
I think it should be the 15 players, and then any three from six or any three from eight. What would happen then is that players would have to go back to training for 80 minutes. Yeah. In a different way, you definitely wouldn't have the bulk that some of these guys have. I mean, it's some of their hits now, it's just fierce, and I fear for them. You know, in 15 to 20 years time, I mean, I've got two steel hips, which is fine. You know, I can still walk and I can still run if I have to. But I fear for some of these guys, the props and second rows, who are taking these huge hits. I mean, I watched Franco Mostert the other night, who was an awesome lock. Mm. 25 tackles. He made 25 tackles in a game.
Mm.
And now that's absolutely great. But what did his body go through in those 25 hits?
Yeah.
Mm.
Plus the scrums. Plus the times that he had the ball in his hand, that it's scary.
Mm.
So, can you just drop me a line with the interesting stats from the stat man? Number of games, tries, county games. God. But you know,
you keep that.
What was absolutely stunning was when we'd. The year that I played for the Lions, okay, I played basically right from September all through the Gloucester games, probably Gloucestershire games, South West games. You'd do all that, you'd play all the way through, you wouldn't get a break. I had Easter off. I was chosen to play for the Barbarians on the Easter tour, but it was around the time that my mum had passed, and she was very, very ill, so I was pulled out of that. But that week off, or 2 weeks off, was the only time I'd had off from September. Then you went right through onto the Lions tour, and you played all those games. I mean, we talked earlier about a sense of fatigue. I think halfway through the Lions tour, I probably was, you know, running on empty. And when you're playing the All Blacks and the provincial teams, whose season has just started, and you know they're ready and they're wanting to take you, and you're sort of half knackered. It certainly makes a difference. So the length of our season, I reckon that season I might have played 40 or 50 games.
Yeah,
possibly more. You know, Saturday, Wednesday. Awful lot of rugby. Having said that, I wouldn't have changed a thing. At the time, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was travelling the world and having a great time.
But it almost certainly explains that, as you were saying earlier, your loss of form in the following season.
Looking back now, people will say that I lost form, and I will now openly admit that I lost my love for the game. It almost felt like everything that I'd striven for all my career, it all came at once with the Barbarians, with England, and then the Lions. And anything after that was an anticlimax. And mentally, I don't think I coped with that, you know, really well at the time. I mean, now, you know, the club have probably got a psychologist and five physios and all these other people who'd be helping you, but not back then, no.
I'd like to offer you a quote from Keith Richardson.
Oh, right. Good.
Okay. When Steve Ball was on song, I saw why he was picked by England and the Lions. That here was the start of a new breed, if you like. Big forwards who've got very fast feet and a lot of pace. Genuine pace. I think he would have been a success at the gridiron American football.
Really?
I reckon he could have done that. He was the type of player they were looking for to carry the ball through a crowd and make 5 or 6 yards. Priceless in American football.
Well, well, well.
What do you think about a gridiron career, Steve?
Well, I mean, I was earning £9 a week in the bank at the time. I would have loved it. Funnily enough, I mean, I was aware that stuff, you know, was happening. People were talking to me about things. I was asked if I'd go and have a trial at rugby league, you know, because Warrington, where I was born, that was a rugby league place. Gridiron, nobody approached me, although a couple of the England guys that went on a tour to the States a few years afterwards, you know, did get asked. But that's really kind of Keith, who was a captain, a looser, and a coach. No, that's nice words. Thank you, Keith.
He actually said a whole lot more that was very nice about you, but I won't embarrass you.
That's enough, thank you.
You weren't tempted by the Warrington offer?
Well, you know, I'd seen the physical mess that some players had gone into, you know, faces bashed about. Bob Mordell, the England flanker from Rosslyn Park, he went up, and when he came back, his face looked like a punch bag, you know. And because there was certain skills involved in rugby, the line out and, you know, scoring tries and having fun and sidestepping and all that sort of stuff, my contact with Warrington came in within weeks of the Leicester win in the cup final. I had a phone call from a scout who said, he knew that I was a Warrington lad, had I ever thought about playing rugby league, and we had a little conversation, and he said, by the way, what did you get for winning the John Player Cup? And I said, well, we got a nice sweater and the tie is very nice and I've got a cap. And they said, well, when Warrington won the Rugby League Cup, they got £3,000 a man and a holiday. Now, bearing in mind that I was working in Lloyds Bank then and probably not earning more than £1,500 a year, something of that nature, that was, you know, that was certainly tempted. But then he went and spoiled it by saying, yeah, you'd be ideal trucking up every fifth ball. And I thought, you know what? No, and then he said, well, we can always do with props like you. So, you know, being a prop and trucking up every fifth ball, no, that wasn't really for me. So, no. I stopped at King's Home and we're working in a bank.
Well, thank you, Steve, for talking to us. That was very enjoyable, very interesting.
It's what is amazing is how much I've forgotten.